So it's 5 o'clock and on the West Coast in California, and I know it's all different times from where all we're calling, from Spain to Norway to Australia, New Zealand, to all parts of California, of the U.S. and to Canada. And my name again is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and I want to welcome all of you to this Passion Series interview. Twice a month we interview people who are inordinately successful at living their own passions in their own lives. And from their experience and their example, all of us, I know I certainly have gained a great deal of wisdom and learned what it takes to really live a successful, passionate life. So thank you all for being with us. And I want to just read to you a quote that has always inspired me around passion, which is that it was a quote from Soren Kierkegaard. He said, "God has given each of us our marching orders. Our purpose here on earth is to find those orders and carry them out. Those orders acknowledge our special gifts." So all of you have special gifts, and tonight we are going to discover how each of us can become more aligned with those special gifts. It is my privilege and honor to introduce to all of you a man who is exemplary in having demonstrated one of the things that you as our readers have told us many times is one of your biggest questions. How does one take one's passions and turn those into something that can support you, in something that can create wealth and financial freedom in your life? David Ricklin is the founder and president of SelfGrowth.com, the number one ranked self-improvement website on the internet. And he started that website some 7 years ago with his wife as a hobby, and has built it into an internet powerhouse, a portal into the world of self-improvement, and has given all of us a place to go to identify who are the greatest and best people who can support us in our own journey in discovering who we are and how we can give our own gifts. David is also the author of Self-Improvement, the Top 101 Experts Who Help Us Improve Our Lives, and I'm excited that we get to hear his story and to hear how he has achieved such great success starting from just a hobby website some years ago. I'm also very honored that tonight we have as our co-host Scott Martineau, one of the co-founders of Conscious One. And those of you who have not yet been to ConsciousOne.com, you absolutely have to go. It's another amazing introduction and source of online learning in the self-improvement and personal growth area. So, Scott, are you with us?
I am indeed. Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll turn the interview over to you now.
Well, Chris, thank you so much, and I can't let you go without just saying how much I appreciate the introduction and what you're doing at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We have been working with people like David and others, and it's so nice to have you doing what you're doing and bringing like-minded people who are trying to discover, who are discovering their passions and their interest. And we love what you're doing at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise.
Thank you so much.
Well, I get the distinct pleasure tonight to interview someone who I've worked with for the last 3 years. And while we have not yet seen each other face-to-face, I feel like he's a brother already. And he was very kind to us when we got our business started 3 years ago. He's been like a big brother. And so there might be a sense of real familiarity or almost a familiar feel to this interview because we talk quite regularly and help each other out. So, David, I get to ask you all kinds of questions tonight in a formal level, but I just appreciate you being there, and I want to start off by saying we admire everything you're doing at selfimprovement.com and have for a long time.
Thank you very much, Scott. Greatly appreciate it.
It's great to be with you tonight. I'm going to do some interviewing of David, and I've got a few questions that I wanted to start us off with that I think will lead us into understanding what it is and what it takes to put your passion into your work every day and then actually make it turn into a labor of love. And I'm just going to start off with, David, you've started and really created an internet portal which gives access to an incredible array of self-improvement resources, and you've worked with and researched the top self-improvement experts in the whole world. What role did your passion, the things which are most important to you in your life, play in leading you to do what you're doing today?
Well, for me, passion is critical. And when I take a look at the passion and the desire, I kind of mix passion and desire together. There are really three things that I look at in my life that are really driving for me, and especially tied into the business. And I think of my passions, one of my long passions has been just a desire to have my own business. And I had that passion for many years. And equally, I had another passion, a passion about self-improvement. I had an interest in self-improvement. It was very strong, and it was a very strong desire to really learn how to improve my life. How can I be the best that I can be? And a third passion that's really driven me was really a strong desire, a passion to be a strong provider for my family. I'm married. We have three young kids, and those three passions really are driving my business and a lot of what I do.
Do you have any idea where the passion to have your own business came from?
Oh, absolutely. That came from corporate America, I guess is the best way to describe it. I didn't really grow up as a young kid thinking I was going to necessarily have my own business. And when I graduated from college, I was thinking, what's the best place to start? And I identified what I thought at the time was one of the best companies to work for. And out of college, I went to work for Hewlett-Packard. And Hewlett-Packard back then was one of the most, if not the most respected company in corporate America. And I thought it would be a great learning ground for me. And I started out in the computer area and sales and marketing, and I was really learning a tremendous amount about how to be successful in business, how to run my own business, how to really be successful whatever I was doing. But one of the things I learned early on from my first years at Hewlett-Packard is that I wasn't necessarily cut out for corporate America, that I started to develop in my blood a desire to have my own business, and that's really where that came from.
Interesting. And how about the interest in self-improvement? Was that a trait you had from your youngest days?
Well, that started a little earlier. I remember back in high school, goes back a few years as well, I took one of these Evelyn Wood speed reading courses when I was in high school. And I remember I tripled my speed reading ability. And I thought, this is just great. It was phenomenal. And I kind of started to get my interest there. But I was really hooked probably a little after college during my Hewlett-Packard years. They sent me to a Dale Carnegie course to learn how to be more effective at what I was doing. And I remember taking my first Dale Carnegie course, and I just got hooked. I said, there's something special here, something powerful there. And I continued with Dale Carnegie for some time. And it was really the spark, the self-improvement spark, that stayed with me.
I think that's a common theme for those of us in the self-improvement genre or field. I remember that first Tom Hopkins course that I was introduced to and a Karas negotiating course as being really big eye-opening events for me, that I learned that there was other ways to learn and how to do things other than just the school of hard knocks.
Absolutely.
Before I ask you and have you tell us a little bit how you started selfgrowth.com, I wanted to get everybody the URL so that they, if they want to have access to your book, they can do so. It's the URL to check David's book out is www.healthywealthyandwise.com/selfgrowth. That's www.healthywealthyandwise.com/selfgrowth. Tell us how you started selfgrowth.com.
Well, the way I started it goes back a few years. I had met my wife at the time. It was my girlfriend, and then we got engaged. And we both had an interest in self-improvement and personal growth. And I still had in the back of my mind an interest in my own business. So we decided to purchase a URL, a website, and invested the $35 at the time and got selfgrowth.com. And we really just started posting information. We both had an interest in how to improve our lives in different areas, whether it be career, family, personal, social, and our health areas. And we started posting information, kind of like a mini Yahoo, of websites or links that we like. But we really weren't sure what we were going to do with it other than it was a hobby. It was something that we were doing together. And the hobby tended to grow and grow, and people started sending us positive feedback, and it turned into a small business, a small side business. And then over the course of 3.5 years, I grew a small side business into a larger side business. And a little over 3.5 years ago, it grew to the point where I left my full-time corporate America job, and I went full-time with this, and we've grown, and we've hired a number of people, and we just keep growing, selfgrowth.com and our other website. So kind of just started out as a hobby and grew from there.
And how many years ago would it have been that you and your wife, Michelle, had the idea? And then how long did you think about it before you actually did it and put that first, you know, bought that $35 URL?
Well, we had the idea. It probably wasn't very long. It was a little over 9 years ago. We're coming on our ninth anniversary in a couple of days. And it was shortly before, during our engagement. And I liked the web. I loved the Internet. And we just decided, you know, very quickly, why don't we get a website? We came up with the name selfgrowth.com, and we worked with it as a hobby for some time. And it was a lot of fun. It was something that we could do together and something that we both believed in and were both passionate about.
Hmm. And what is your vision now, and what do you hope to create in the world through your work?
Well, the vision now kind of ties a little bit into how we created it initially. My initial feeling of why we created selfgrowth.com was to be a kind of a central place. What we were doing at the time is just posting information on different websites or different resources that we felt people could use to improve our lives or improve their lives. And one of the challenges, and kind of one of my pet peeves, is people are always trying to stick round peg in a square hole or square peg in a round hole. And my general belief ties into the fact that there are resources for virtually everybody, for everybody to improve their life. And one of the challenges is it's a matter of finding the best resource that's going to help you personally improve your life, whether it be a seminar, whether it be a book that's going to touch you, or a person, or a mentor. And my goal at the beginning was really to provide a resource center that people can come to and find out about all the resources available for them to improve their life. And then once they can look at all of them, figure out which is going to be the best resource for them. So my vision then and now continues to be providing kind of a super site or a super internet portal where people can come and really find information about thousands or tens of thousands of different resources and identify what's going to be best to help them in their life.
Yeah, exactly. At ConsciousOne.com, we take that same philosophy that we're a bit of a Baskin Robbins. We're 31 flavors. You get to choose your flavor, and all of them are good. Any of them, anybody can appreciate. We would like to have them under there so that they can help improve their lives. I think that's exactly what you guys do with your resources.
Yep. And I see it with you folks as well. It's a matter of really finding the best material to help you improve your life. And I think both of us, and both of our websites and businesses, strongly advocate that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one of the things I'd like to share with everybody is that David and I have tried to get together two or three times, and both of us share a commitment to our family that rarely gets us away from our family very often for an overnight or two nights. That's really strange. And David has some younger kids that he may share a little bit about. But how do you balance your work, this crazy internet business, and your family life? You know, what role has your family played in your success? And I know it plays a big one, because that's why we've never actually shaken hands, because we can never get scheduled in the same city together because we don't like to leave our families.
Right, absolutely. I think my single biggest challenge for me is the balance, is the family and the business balance. And to give you a sense, I almost look like I have two, I feel like I have two 12-hour jobs. And I have my business, which I'm very devoted to, but I'm also, I go home, my wife and I have three very young kids. They're 2, 3, and 5. And for anybody who's spent any time with a 2, a 3, or a 5-year-old, you know that having all three of them together is a challenge. So when I come home, it's definitely time to help out with my children. And make a commitment as much as possible to really help and be part of that. And some of the things I've done, for example, is I opened up an office that's literally 1 mile away from my house. So I can come back and help out when I can. And I try right now to devote as much of my weekend time to my family, which has meant I really haven't traveled. I haven't left. And I tell folks, if it needs to be more than an hour away, it's going to be a challenge, because it's still important at this young age for me to stay close to my family and help out.
And that's an important commitment for me to make, so that I can stay passionate about my work. They work together. I'm passionate about my family and passionate about my work. If I'm assuming that's the same for you. If you got into your work so much you couldn't spend much time with your family, I think the passion for work would lose.
Absolutely. I'd say one of my driving forces, one of the passions I mentioned earlier, is my family. And it tends to tie together because one of the things I'm looking to do with my business and was looking to do is really provide me the financial freedom where I can spend more time with my family. But it's a catch because I'm balancing, you know, almost competing passions.
Right.
You're passionate about your work, so you're driven at work, and you're passionate about your family. But I almost feel blessed that I have two things that are very important to me, at least two things that are very important to me. But the challenge that, almost a daily basis for me, it remains a big challenge, the balance.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that's maybe different with our generation than with previous, is that we're trying to blend the two lifestyles together as seamlessly as we possibly can without sacrificing either one.
We try.
Yeah.
Doing the best we can.
That's exactly right. Now, tell me, we've been talking a lot about passion. You've researched the top self-improvement experts in the world. How important is passion from the perspective of these experts?
Oh, passion and desire. I kind of look at passion and desire as closely tied together. They're critical. I think they drive everything else. And passion for me, and I think passion for people, creates a motivation which creates action. And it's that action which is going to create success. And I look at, I'm a big proponent of motivational, inspirational quotes that I use to kind of keep me going on a daily basis. And one of my favorite ones is from Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich. And his quote is, desire is the starting point of all achievement. So I'm a strong believer that passion and desire are critical if you want to be successful.
I haven't had a chance to ask this of you at any time. How did you choose from the 1,000 people you interviewed and researched for your top 101 experts book, the top 101 experts that help us improve our lives, how did you find the top 101 out of literally thousands that exist out there?
Let me give you a little background what we're trying to do with the book. We're trying to create what I describe almost as a mini encyclopedia on self-improvement. And we're focusing really on the experts. We wanted to create a resource where we could identify who the experts, who are the best people to learn from, and wanted to also include information about, you know, what their message, what you could learn, some specifics, some ideas, who they are, what their background, what programs are available, really a mini resource on each of these experts. So the challenge became, who are we going to pick from all the experts? And we started out really with a fairly exhaustive list of 1,000-plus experts. And we got these names through a lot of research, a lot of interviews. We did surveys through our website, our subscribers. And we were challenged, how are we going to come up with the top 101? We wanted to come up with a list out of this 1,000-plus people. And we wanted to do it as objectively as possible. So what we did is we turned to the Internet. We had an Internet business, so we said, what's the best way? Let's turn to the Internet. And we decided to use the criteria of most searched for. So my general feeling was the people who were the most popular self-improvement experts might not be the best, but they're clearly the ones that people were most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to identify who the most popular 101 self-improvement experts were. And what we had done is we started gathering information through Yahoo and Google, and we did a search and analysis to find out how many times people were actually searching for people. So we gathered information from Yahoo, we contacted Google, and we basically asked, you know, how many times do people type in the name Anthony Robbins in the search engines, or Dale Carnegie, or Deepak Chopra, or Stephen Covey. And we ranked these people based on how many times their name is searched for over the Internet. And we came out with a ranking from 1 to 1,000, and we wrote our book focusing on the top 101 experts. And no surprise that, you know, the two most searched experts in self-improvement turned out to be, you know, Tony Robbins and Dr. Phil. Both very popular, both very well-known experts in the self-help, self-improvement area.
This may be, I'm going to put you on the spot, all, but at this time in your life, who are two or three of your favorite experts in the field? People maybe you're reading right now or really enjoying.
Well, Deepak Chopra, I have a strong spiritual bond to some of the things that he's provided.
Mm.
But I still go back to Dale Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
Dale Carnegie, early on, just provided a lot of seeds for me. And one of the things about Dale Carnegie, I mentioned I took the course, I also ended up being a Dale Carnegie instructor for some time. So a lot of what he taught really became a part of what I believe. But I also love, I love reading a lot of material. Ogmandino is one of my favorites. It depends on what I'm looking for.
Sure.
It depends if I'm looking for spirituality in my life or more business focus or more financial focus. So there's really a wide range. But out of everybody, Dale Carnegie still holds a special place in my heart.
The Think and Grow Rich tape by Napoleon Hill, I think, was the first self-help tape I ever listened to. Think and Grow Rich with, Earl Nightingale announcing it. I just thought that was the most amazing thing in the world.
Yep. It's a lot of powerful resources. And as going back to my earlier premise, it's a matter of finding what's best for you and really leveraging that.
What was your wife interested when you guys started the business? What was her area of interest in self-improvement?
Well, my wife came from a human resource background.
Mm-hmm.
So very much into training, human resource development, personal development, that kind of thing. And she was working with a number of large corporations doing training and development and human resource type things. So had a strong personal interest in that as well. And we thought it was a great connection. Let's go out there and really start working together and finding resources, and it was a lot of fun. We were in the dating stage of our life. Things were a lot of fun. We're spending time building something together.
When you were doing your research for the book, were there common themes amongst the people that you were looking for? Were the top 101 people all have a similar theme, or was there two or three things that you could identify in each one of them that they were proposing or were common themes in their work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll give you a quick synopsis of some of the top principles that we found. One is the majority of them felt it was critical to take responsibility for your life. And that was one of the things we saw all over the place. And another one that's not surprising is it's critical to really take action. You need to take action and move towards your goals, move towards what you want. The second one, a strong desire, the passion, was also critical for many, many experts. And two additional key ingredients for folks were to really set goals, to sit down and set goals, and to create a plan to implement those goals. So those, if I had to take five, those were probably the top five that we saw frequently throughout the experts.
Maybe we could take go off just a little tangent on the passion concept, and I will make the statement and love to get your comment on it. One of the things we see at Conscious One is people trying to find out what their passion is. And I know Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is a fantastic way of assessing that. One of the things we've talked about with our authors is you can tell passion or what you'd be passionate about by there's a level of energy or excitement about a subject matter, a concept, an idea that almost you feel wide awake, you feel a higher energy. There's almost a vibration to it that helps you identify it as your passion. One of our authors, Sonia Choquette, says that if you ask the question, if I weren't afraid, I would, and if you finish that sentence off, you do that in the morning when you first wake up, do that sentence four or five times in the morning, it's a great way to find out what it is you truly want to do. The other example is you just feel a little excited about it. It's something that has a lot of energy in your life. Have you found that to be true in your life?
Oh, absolutely, but I'll have to step back a little bit because it's a challenge. How do you go about finding out? There's two things. How do you find out what you're passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want it to be an integral part of your life, you want your passion ideally to be tied into your career.
Mm.
For me, that was important because for me, it enabled me to have something I was passionate about be something I was doing, 5 days a week. And I tell folks when they come to work here that you spend more time here than virtually any place else. And you're going to see us probably more hours than you see your spouse or your family.
Right.
So for me, having something I was passionate about as my work needed to be was critical. So it was a challenge to figure out what that was. And one of the ways I went about that early on is I just tried a whole bunch of different things. I was looking, I experimented, I guess is the best way of looking at it. And I tried different things to explore and figure out what I was passionate about. And there are countless other things I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about travel. There's a whole list of stuff that I'm passionate about. Passionate about racquetball. But it was a matter of finding out not only what I was passionate about, but what I was passionate about and I could develop a career around. And that was the real challenge. And the way I did it for me was just experimentation, you know, finding and trying different things until I hit on something that started to feel right. And I found that as I was getting more and more into it, I grew more and more passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, you know, things start clicking and it kind of gets into your blood.
You said two things in there I think are really interesting. It just feels right is one thing that happens. And then there's a little bit of a magic, and I know, you know, I know in each of us, if you were trained with Hewlett-Packard, I had a similar corporate background. There's a certain amount of business knowledge and such that helps you understand if you're on the right path and such. However, there's something about when you're passionate about it, you've made it your life's purpose, your life's work, there is a magic that occurs where there feels like there's a favoring wind and the sun is on your face. It's much different than when it's drudgery and it's not quite your passion and you're trying to push the rock uphill. There's a big difference between when something's your passion, you're making your life purpose. Things just happen, you know, like you probably happen with selfgrowth.com. It just starts to click and everything, all of a sudden you're no longer a part-time position. It has to become a full-time position.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I found also, regardless of how passionate, for me, I think realistically, regardless of how passionate you are about what you're doing, there are ups and downs. Sometimes things are going well, sometimes things aren't going well. And I remember going back when I was doing this as a side business, this goes back a few years, at the point where we turned it from a hobby to a side business, I still had a full-time job, plus I was working it as a side business. And during that time as a side business, we had our first child. So, you know, we had the late nights and getting up and the feedings and everything. So I had to really figure out what's going to drive me, because it's very easy to kind of step back and say, it's a side business. I don't really need to focus on this. And it was really the fact that I was passionate about it that kept me involved, because there are clearly some days where you're tired, you aren't motivated, and you're not clear, you know, you lose sight of the vision. And the fact that you're passionate about it keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
And that passion deep down inside drives you to get up and do it some more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me from, you know, got me out of corporate America and got me into running my own business. The fact that I kept the passion with me and let it drive me.
Yes. Yeah, very similar in our experience, too, David. It was so important to us to bring personal growth to others and have them experience it and enjoy it the way we did, that during those lean, that first whole year that's just a tremendously lean, where we were just pouring money into the business, a lot of people would be saying, why are you doing this, or what you're doing? And when you run your own business, there's a lot of times you're not able to pull any kind of financial compensation out of it. The passion has to suffice. And it did. It was more than abundant enough for us. And it got us through that first year that was very lean. And without the passion, I don't think you could have even gotten through the first two or three months.
Yep. Absolutely helps.
Well, let's just talk a little bit. You've created a very successful business on the Internet, and you're doing the things you love, like we've talked about. One of the most frequent asked questions on Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is, how do I turn my passions into profits? And really, what have you learned about that answer to the question as you've built selfgrowth.com?
Well, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. One of the things I mentioned earlier was trying to figure out what it is you're passionate about that can make you money. I'm passionate about racquetball, or I'm passionate about travel. And for me, that wasn't necessarily going to make me money. So what I needed to do first, and I think people need to do first, is find the things, really identify the things that they love. And going back to the experimenting, you know, everybody thinks back to, people have good experiences doing, everybody has good experiences doing different things. And it's a matter of thinking back to what it is that's kind of inspired you, what you've done where things have felt like they're clicking. And then once you've identified that area that you're passionate about, in terms of turning it into something that you can profit from, my sense is in that area, you need to find a product or a service that you can provide that can tie into your passion. You need to find a product or service that you can earn money with. And for me, if you want to find a product or service, it needs to be a product or service that people want or need. So to take a look at the process, you know, after you find what you love, start searching. Figure out what would you want, what service is available that perhaps you would want or that you could provide or that isn't being provided, or perhaps what is being provided by other folks that you could also provide, perhaps provide it better. So really trying to pick out, and you know, businesses are either generally going to be a product-driven or a service-driven business. So once you've identified the product or the service, start looking at the business side of it, because you need to look at the practical business side. Passion's only going to take you so far. And what you mentioned earlier, Scott, I think rings true. You need to have and you need to learn a little bit about business.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to have your passion be your life's work, it's important also to understand the finances of it. You know, it's great to be passionate and have the desires, but you have to understand the business side of it. And that ties into, you know, basic stuff, finding a product or service and figuring out how can you build or develop that, and then how could you market it. And once you've figured that out, even on a small level, and my sense is it's always better for me to start with a small level. That's my recommendation. Figure out how to do it on a small level and then figure out how to grow it. If you can find a product or service or something you're passionate about that you can make money on a small level, once you've gotten to that point, you can figure out how to multiply that. But you need the first step before you could start multiplying it.
That's right. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a perfect entity before you launch. That's one of the things we've noticed, too, in coaching people and talking with people, is that it doesn't have to be perfect. It can be, like our friend Mike Littman, it can be good C or B work. Get it out there and see what if your audience, your members, your friends will buy and pay for it.
Yep.
And then fix it from there. As you grow the business, like you said, start small and then grow it.
Yeah, one perfect example of that I see is eBay. You know, there are thousands and thousands of people there who had just a passion for garage, you know, going into garage sales,
right,
buying stuff. And there are literally thousands and thousands of people who are now full-time, quit their jobs, full-time, searching for stuff. Their passion is really looking and finding bargains and then placing them and making a living on eBay. And there are countless people who are making a tremendous living on eBay doing what they're passionate about. And the way they started is they went to that one garage sale, they found that first item, and they sold that one first item on eBay and made money at it. And then they just built on it from there.
Exactly right. I want to just ask you this question. You may get this question a little bit, but I want to ask it just a slightly different way. You've got the number one internet site for self-growth, personal improvement work, something that we're very envious of, ConsciousOne.com, but we're just happy to be in the same game with you. But everyone looks at that ranking of 10,000 or 11,000 and says, gosh, it must have just been easy for you. You know, you didn't have any obstacles or challenges because look at where you are today. You're so successful at what you've done. Could you share with people some of the obstacles and some of the challenges you experienced and how did you overcome those so people understand that it's not just a rocket ship straight up to the moon when you start a business like this?
Oh, sure. Well, I'll bring you back to a previous business first. I had, before selfgrowth.com and before the internet business, I started another business a few years back, and it was a total failure. And I ended up, before I met my wife, I was still single at the time. I left for the first time, I left corporate America, and I filled with passion and desire, not much business sense, and not really a strong understanding of what I wanted to do, started my first business, spent all my money, and basically ended up without having any money, and I had to sell my home at the time to pay off my bills. And I remember thinking at the end of that experience, there was a point where I was so depressed, I was just kind of sitting around waiting to figure out what to do. And after a couple of days of just sitting pretty much doing nothing, I said, you know, it's time to get back up there and to take action. And I remember saying, all right, I got to do something. And I picked up the phone. I made the first phone call. I set up an interview, and I got back in corporate America, started earning money again, and kept my sights on long-term getting back to the desire of my own business. But it was devastating at the time. And I found the only thing that really got me out of it was just didn't care, took that first action, made the first phone call, and got back on my feet and was at it again. And when I finally got back to selfgrowth.com as a business, one of the big obstacles, just a quick challenge, everybody on the phone here, I'm sure, gets spam of one sort or another. And spam for us is a big issue. And one of the things that we ran into maybe a year and a half ago, extremely painful, there was a German company that was sending out porn advertisements or spam, porn spam, in German. So it was basically German words and porn. And they were sending out literally millions of these emails. Well, we didn't really see any of them because they were going out to German-speaking countries. But lo and behold, at the end of these German porn emails that were being spammed throughout the world, there was a little unsubscribe button that said, if you have any complaints about this porn email, please send your complaints to David Ricklin at selfgrowth.com.
Oh, my goodness.
Just out of nowhere. That wasn't the actual email address. It was one of our email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, one day, we just started getting inundated, literally with thousands of complaints, cursing at us in English and German and every language imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were just overwhelmed with email coming to us with complaints about the German porn spam. I had some people translate it, started finding out what people were saying, and I didn't know what to do. We had absolutely nothing to do with it. And we were getting literally 1,000-plus email every single day sent to us. And we didn't know what to do. I contacted an attorney. I contacted the U.S. government. And I was, how can I stop this? We could not even identify. You know, we finally found out that it was German spam being sent from a country in a former Soviet Union that was being done for a Polish company. And they basically said, you know, it's going to take you tens of thousands of dollars to track this down. You're going to have to hire attorneys in three different countries to stop this. And it was killing us, and we weren't sure what to do, and we just kind of wrote it out. But for a week or two there, you know, we made some changes to our website and did what we could. But for, you know, a couple of weeks there, it was just painful. You know, it was difficult to do any kind of business, but we realized we just needed to stay focused and do our business and figure out what the best approach would be.
And this too shall pass.
Yeah, exactly. But at the time, I wasn't thinking it could pass.
Yeah.
But I knew I needed to stay focused, that one way or another, we had to figure out a way to get through it.
Hmm. Had to have been a tough couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first one. What's going on?
Right. Right. Well, and what did you take away from that then what do you apply to your business going forward from that episode?
Well, a few things on the more practical side. You know, I learned some practical ways to deal with this, and we're given some specific ways and approaches. And for example, we set up an autoresponder. We set up something where someone sent us an email. We explained what happened for the complaints, and we automated a lot of the stuff so that we would know how to deal with it in the future. And one of the things that I realized I took away is there's certain things that just are not under my control. And you need to really focus on the things that you can control. And you can't, for me, the things that are out of my control, I do a better job at controlling my frustration with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still frustrating, but I realize there isn't much I could do, that I do what I can and just continue and stay focused on what my mission is.
That's right. Because for those of us who were getting the good stuff from you every day and using your resource, we were unaffected. We want you to stay focused on that because we want you to be doing what you're doing because we're enjoying that content every day. We had no idea about the German spam.
Exactly. Unless you were German-speaking and get German email and were probably in one of the German-speaking countries, you never would have seen those emails or never would have seen our email address.
So as a business owner, as an entrepreneur who started this up, there's a lot of different ways that you can be taken off your game. This is a pretty extreme example, but there's a lot of different things that can come up and take you off the focus of what your work is each day, isn't there?
Absolutely. And things come up, you know, even when you're having if it's a small business, you know, you're looking at two parts. Generally, you're doing part of it something that you love, but you're running a business. So there's the financial aspect of it, there's the accounting aspect of it, there's the marketing aspect of it. There's a whole number of other pieces where you might not necessarily have a lot of expertise in them. And, you know, a lot of times they're pulling you in different directions. And for me, the challenge is just keeping your eye on the ball, staying focused. And it goes back to some of the key things for me were having a clear and set goals of what I needed to do and a clear plan on how to do it. And just no matter what, things are gonna try to grab your time, things are gonna try to dissuade you, and everybody wants your time. And for me, it's on a daily basis reminding myself of what my focus is and what I want for myself, what I want for my family, what I want for my business.
You said earlier that one of the key elements that you saw in the experts was, one of the common themes was taking responsibility. And that sounds like that's exactly what you're doing, is taking responsibility, being responsible for what's going on around you, including how you utilize your own time.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting. As I mentioned, one of the key things is a strong belief, and you need to take responsibility for your life, for how you feel, for what you're doing. But my general feeling is if you look back on your whole life, you know, a lot of things, you weren't responsible for deciding where you grew up. You weren't responsible for deciding what public schools or grade school you went to, or you weren't responsible for choosing your parents. So a lot of the things that have impacted you and made you who you are today, you weren't really responsible for. But my view is, okay, you might not be completely responsible for where you are today, but you are completely responsible for where you're going to be tomorrow. So the challenge, I believe, for everybody is right now to take full responsibility for where your life's going to take you.
Scott, I'm dying to ask a question. This is Chris. Can I jump in for a sec?
Oh, sure.
David, it was fascinating to hear the story of these challenges that come up. And the thing that I would love to hear, and I'm sure our listeners would as well, is are there any similar kinds of examples on the other side of where you did something and it went really well, that it just outperformed your expectations? Are there any stories there that you can share with us?
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a few of them. Probably one of the first ones is with just selfgrowth.com. I remember an early on example of what you can look at something positive. A number of years ago into the business, or a couple of years into the business, and I had an idea of starting an email newsletter. And this goes back a few years before email newsletters were so common or so popular. And I said, you know, I think it's a good idea to collect people's emails and send them information. And I wasn't sure at the time whether people would really be interested in sending it. You know, a lot of people were really just going to websites. And we decided to post a link saying a free self-improvement newsletter and had no idea whether anybody would sign up. And first day, out of the box, we put up the first link, first promotion, and people just started signing up on a daily basis. And it just, to our surprise, started growing and growing, and we started sending just some motivational, inspirational article every week. And the feedback we were getting was phenomenal from it. And we've grown from, you know, tens or hundreds of subscribers to now having over 850,000 people that get our email newsletters every week. And the success behind the newsletter and the decision to go ahead with it has just been phenomenal for us. I guess if you're looking for one other good one, the book that we've been mentioning also, The Self-Improvement Top 101 Experts, also one of my driving forces for that book was really I was looking for a resource to help me grow my own business. You know, we were in self-improvement, so I figured I should be in contact with all the top experts in the field. So I went out there looking for a book that was kind of a compendium, an encyclopedia that would tell me about everything, and I couldn't find anything like that. So I said, you know what, I need something like this. I'll go out and write it. And we wrote it. I did a lot of research on it and been doing research. And people started buying it, you know, thousands and thousands of books, and it just resonated really well with a lot of folks.
That's a perfect example, too, of you said earlier that you were, you know, in the passionate work that you did, you wanted to find something that people wanted or needed. In fact, this was something that you wanted or needed.
Exactly.
And that's how you came. And that's how you created the book.
Exactly how it happened, yep. Good thing I didn't find it.
That's exactly right. Well, let me follow up with this. Our listeners would probably be interested in the three things you suggest that they start doing right now to begin creating the life of their dreams.
Well, I take a fairly simple approach in terms of what the best or what the way to do it. And the first step I tell folks is to start with a list. I'm a big supporter of lists to really get your ideas on paper. And very simple, I tell folks, make a list of things that you know you're passionate about. Figure out what it is and just sit down. Spend the time, could be in one session or over several sessions, and write down a list of the things that you've been passionate about. And then pick one of them. Pick one of the things that you've been passionate about and take one action item towards making that happen. And that in itself, so basically make a list, pick one thing you're passionate about, and then figure out one thing you're going to do relative to that passion and run with it. Those are the three quick things that I recommend that will really help folks focus.
And I think you said something important. You talk about taking action. You said that was also one of the common themes, that it's not something to be contemplated. It's not something to be wringing your hands about or worrying about. You're talking about pick something and take an action to put it in place.
Yes. Yep. Well, what I find a lot of times is I'm a thinker, so I like to think and overanalyze. A lot of folks do it as well. I know I'm not the only one who overanalyzes situations. And I find that at sometimes you just get stuck in this overanalyze. Is this the best? Should I be doing it this way? Is there a better way? And my feeling is what works best is at some point you just cut loose and you say, let me just do it. Do something. And it's better to do, I find it's better to do something than to think about doing nothing, to think and do nothing. So yeah, take an action. Move ahead.
Yep, exactly. Let's talk just a little bit. I want to give everybody the URL where they can get the book again. It's www.healthywealthyandwise.com/self-growth. And I know that people get some bonuses and such when they get the top 101 experts. Could you talk about the top 501 inspirational quotes? How did you decide to get these? You know, what are some of your favorites, if you can remember them off the top of your head? But how did you come up with these?
Sure. Let me give you a little background. What we were looking to do with the book itself is we actually created a bundled package where I'd call it like a print book and e-book bundled package, where we felt that in the print book itself we had a tremendous amount of resources that we wanted to add additional resources for folks. And we provided those with electronic books, e-books you could download, audios, a whole bunch of things. And one of the things that was one of my passions was quotes, these inspirational quotes. And I mentioned one earlier, desire is the starting point of all achievement. And what I decided to do was come up with a project. I said, what I want to share with folks is what the top inspirational quotes of all time are. And the way I started, very simply, we surveyed all of our readers, and then we did an exhaustive search, and we came up literally with a list of 10,000 inspirational quotes. So we had this list of 10,000 inspirational quotes. We were trying to figure out how can we prioritize for folks which are the best ones. And the way we did it is very simply, I had somebody hired a software programmer to write a program and to take each of these quotes and search the whole internet and find out how many different websites each quote is on. And my philosophy goes back to how we figured out the experts. My philosophy was the websites that had the quotes that were on the most websites, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 different websites, were considered some of the best by, you know, it's like 5,000 or 6,000 people out there on the internet voted for this quote by putting it on their website. So we had somebody write a program that searched each of these, took each of these 10,000 quotes and searched all of Yahoo, all of Google to figure out how many times or how many different websites that quote came on. And then we ranked and identified the top 501 most popular quotes there are for inspiration and motivation. And that's pretty much what we had done to come up with it. And some of the quotes are from people that you know. Some of them might be from people like Abraham Lincoln or Stephen Covey or Winston Churchill. You know, we get them from all over the place. But we use that as the criteria.
And I think those are motivating. People love to get those. Don't they? They always find one or two or 100 that are really meaningful to them.
Well, I find for me, you know, a quote could just, you know, I'm caught in a process and the right quote at the right time could just snap me out of it and keep me focused.
So that's one of the bonus items they get with the Top 101 Experts book. They also get another bonus ebook. It's with inspirational movies, right?
Right, yep. It's the top 101 inspirational movies. And we also created that in a similar way. We We did a survey of all of our subscribers. We sent out a survey asking them, what's your favorite top inspirational movie of all time? And same thing, we got back countless movies, hundreds and hundreds of movies, and we ranked these movies, the top 101, based on how many votes they got from our readers. So it's a little less formal. We didn't go out to the whole Internet, but we did go out to our audience, which is a sizable audience. And we came back with a list and information. We included in the book not only the list, but information about each of the movies, favorite quotes from the movies, who's in it, a synopsis, things along those lines. And a lot of the movies that were in there were just favorites of mine, you know, and movies that people expect, but there were also surprises in there.
You know, a couple of your favorites, Dave. I'd love to hear a couple of your favorites.
Well, I'd say one of my favorites is Forrest Gump.
Yep.
Love that movie. Love that movie. I wanted it to be the top inspirational movie of all time. But it turned out the number one inspirational movie of all time is probably one many, many people have seen. It's A Wonderful Life.
Yes, of course.
Jimmy Stewart.
Of course.
Yep. A great inspirational movie from years back. Before you and I were watching movies.
That's right. But we see it every Christmas, every year here in the States.
Yep. And it's a powerful movie. Yep.
Other ones that you that you're proud of on that list?
Well, I'll leave it at those. There's a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch that I really love, but I'll leave it at those as a good starting point for folks.
Good. Well, let me ask you a couple things. Just in general, what would you say the number one reason that you've grown so quickly with selfgrowth.com? What would be the reason that you've grown so quickly?
I'd probably say there are two main reasons we've grown quickly. One comes from us and one comes from outside of us. The one that comes from us is my focus. I've stayed extremely focused on what I wanted to do with our business. And part of that ties into the passion. But I stay focused. I have literally a picture in my head of where I want to be and where I want to grow. But the other thing that's equally important or more important is the interest is there. People are hungry to improve their lives and are hungry for good information and the right information. And they're coming to us for it. So the combination of me staying focused enough to provide what people want in combination with people wanting what we're providing is really what's helping us grow.
Mm-hmm. Do you see anything, any major obstacles in this personal growth area? That anything that you're concerned about from an obstacle standpoint or major challenges that you're anticipating that you have to overcome right now?
Oh, in terms of our business or in terms of stuff?
Yeah, in terms of the personal growth business, I would share that my sense of it is that the personal growth business is exploding as more and more of us have the opportunity to contemplate what is our life's meaning and what's important to us, that we've moved past or beyond the concept of having to just work for a living. We now have a chance to say, what is the question of what is my passion and how can I make that into my life? When that happens, the personal growth area, I think, becomes particularly important for those of us in this field to make sure we're good providers of content because there's so many more people looking.
I think there's two general challenges. One for us is it's a very confusing world out there, the self-improvement, personal growth world. And the reason it's so confusing is there's so many resources out there saying, I'm the best. You know, I even look at like the dieting and weight loss area. There's probably 100 diets out there all saying that they're the best in terms of what people provide. So one of the challenges for us is really helping folks figure out who does really have good quality products, who's really providing good ways or good systems to help improve their lives. So for us, we're constantly inundated with information about a wide variety. So for us, one of the challenges is figuring out which ones are working for people and then providing information about the ones that are working for people. They don't necessarily need to be ones that would work for me personally, but we're always looking for what works and what we could provide for other people. And just, I think, a general challenge for me in general in our business is just the Internet is constantly changing, and email and spam and all those issues are a big challenge. We're still primarily, we have a print book out, but we're still primarily an Internet company. And And it kind of goes into, there's a flood of stuff going on the internet, but there's also a flood of information going on in life. You know, wherever you go, television, radio, newspapers, we're so bombarded with so much information that it's difficult for folks to really stay focused on their own personal growth.
Right.
So I'd say that's a big challenge in general. How do you stay focused when you're bombarded by 100 different things pulling you in 100 different directions?
But from somebody who watches what you're doing outside, David, you guys are doing an incredibly good job because you continue to grow and attract more and more people to your site. So you're clearly meeting the challenge of being able to provide good, valuable content and letting people access it when and where they want to.
We're trying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just ask you from this standpoint, the people at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and all of us in the personal growth area believe strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. What is your current most important project, and what intention would you like us here for all of us on the call tonight, along with all the readers at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, what would you want us listeners to hold for you as our intention for you tonight?
Well, my intention is I'll go back to something I mentioned earlier. My intention is to help as many people as possible through our business identify what they need to help them improve their life, whether it be spiritually, financially, health-wise, and to provide all the resources that each person needs. And that's really my focus. That's what we're trying to do as a business, and really help people get the right resources. And not only get the right resources, but also I want everybody to have the message, the clear message, that for each of us, there is something that can help us improve our life. You know, it's difficult at times, especially if you've come from a background where you've had failures. What frequently happens is you tend to focus on the failures and you forget the fact that there are ways and there are successes. And my belief is that since everybody can improve their life, that there are tools, there are people, there are solutions to help all of us. But my intent is really to get the message out to people that you can find what's going to help you improve your life. And our goal is really to provide those resources. And in terms of the intention for us to kind of join with us in that mission, not only to help yourself, but to help people that you know find the resources that they need to help them in their life.
What's been your experience at Self-Growth? What are the main types of resources people are looking for? What's the most searched item, or what's the most looked up item in terms of your program? And maybe you want to share with everybody the different programs, the different URLs that you operate under, because I think that shows some of the interest that you're seeing on your site.
Well, people are looking for a number of things. A lot of folks are interested in, you know, how to improve their career. Career is important to a lot of folks. Family is important to a lot of folks. Relationships are important to a lot of folks. People are looking for health information. So people are looking how to feel better, how to be happier. You know, a lot of information. A lot of people are looking for goal-setting information. A lot of people are looking to figure out how to deal with past challenges, how to deal with their anger, how to deal with their fear. You know, these are common things, common themes. Two of the things that block a lot of folks are their anger over the past, frequently over the past, or their fear over the future. And those are two things that we like to spend a lot of time finding the resources to help folks with. And in terms of the types of resources that we provide in those areas, we look to connect folks with different types of resources. Clearly, you know, we're internet-based, so there's a lot of written material that we provide. And we also provide ways to access, you know, what are the best books out there, what are the best, you know, resources. But we also are a strong believer in addition to things like reading books, and there are a phenomenal number of books, some people might resonate more and listen to an audio program that they can either download or that they can buy and listen to on a CD. Some people might be more appealing to go to a live seminar of some sort, if they're in an area, if they're in a large city that has, let's say, a learning annex. Some people respond better to something like we're doing right now. We're all on what I describe as a super conference call. And for us, we're finding what we want to do is really kind of become a super center for all those types of resources and all the types of topics that I mentioned. And really, you can come to selfgrowth.com and search for each one of these and find what resources are available for you. And that's our goal, really getting folks in touch with and figuring out what works for them and then running with it. You know, if there's a particular issue, a particular challenge that you're facing, go and figure out what help you need. Do you need a mentor? Do you need a coach? Do you need to take a course at a local school? You know, what is it that you need to help you get to where you want to go?
And from what I heard you just say, I think people that are on the call tonight that may be searching, you know, they may be searching for some help with their career or relationship or with goal setting or in particular with past challenges of anger and or fear, that they really need to know that they're not the only ones out there. We literally have sites that can that have created to help them. Your top 101 experts is a great place to start if people want to begin that process of taking on the career challenges or taking on the relationship or doing goal setting or whatever. You have a resource for them to find their way through.
Absolutely. Yep, that's what we're trying to create, and we're adding to it on a daily basis.
Well, I know at Conscious One what we're trying to do, at ConsciousOne.com, we're trying to make sure that our entry into the top 101 experts gets longer and longer.
Okay, we're working on it, as I'm sure you are.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're coming up towards the end of our time, David. I wanted to just, what is the one thing that you'd like to leave our audience and listeners with tonight? What would you like to, what kind of thought would you like to leave them with tonight?
Well, if I leave everybody with nothing else, I'll leave them with one thought. Start. Take action towards your passion. Take your first action. And what I urge folks to do when they get off the call, write down one thing that they're going to do tomorrow and get it done. Write down, think about it, just one single action. Could be something small, something large, whatever it is, something that you're going to do, and do it. And what you'll find is a couple things. One, you'll feel good about the fact that you did it, and it's going to help you get to the next step. And it's also going to be a driving point to kind of fuel your passion. So if nothing else from this call, if everybody can just think for a little bit and think about just one thing that they want, one thing they desire, one passion that they have, and just take one small step towards it. That's my single idea. What one small step could everybody take?
David, I want to ask you one more question. I thought of this as I was thinking about Chris's quote from Kierkegaard, our marching orders and our special gifts. Along the way with selfgrowth.com, you must have discovered that you have some special gifts, maybe ones that you weren't aware of prior to starting down this path. What special gifts do you think you've learned about yourself and you bring to your work each day that you might not have known about prior to starting out on this passionate quest of yours?
I'd say one of the things that I've developed over time is an ability, or at least attempting the ability, to learn from everything. And early on in my life, there are a lot of experiences that we all have where you're angry, you're frustrated, you're left resentful from people, from situations that you've had. And what I've grown to learn for me personally and developed, it's taken some time and it's not easy, and I don't do it all the time, is that every situation, good, bad, or indifferent, is something I could learn from. And every person I meet is something or somebody I could learn from. That there isn't anybody I meet that doesn't have some knowledge that I can learn or gain. So that's probably one of the big things that I've developed, and it's kind of enabled me to work with more people and to realize that everybody has something that they can offer and contribute. And that's probably one of the big things that's changed about me, because in the early days, I'm sure I thought, you know, certain ideas or certain people I didn't want to have anything to do from, and what do they have, and what can they offer me? And over time, as I'm working with folks, I really see that you can learn from everybody and everything.
One of the things that I'd want to share with everybody in the audience tonight, all of the listeners, is that I have found David Ricklin to be one of the most helpful individuals in the personal growth area, that he really walks the talk when it comes to being a person who's there to help others. So while he's learning from everything that's going on around him, he's also putting out his hand and helping others. You've been very, very helpful. So one of the special gifts I've noticed about you is your ability to reciprocate, return a favor, or even put yourself out there to others. And I think that's a special gift that not everyone has. And I really appreciate that about you.
Thanks. Well, one of the things that I've found also over time is that a lot of times people want somebody to give them something first before they do anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out time and time again, that if you help folks first and you do something for them, that it's going to come back double or triple. It might not come back that day. It might not come back for some time, but one way or another, it's going to come back.
So is that something you'd recommend for those who might be on the line tonight who are contemplating starting out their business, to be prepared to extend themselves out at first and wait for people to reciprocate?
Oh, absolutely. Because one of the things I found in general is that you can't really start out and start expecting everybody to help you. You know, they don't know who you are. They don't necessarily have a reason to help you. And you need to go out there and help them. And once you've demonstrated that you're willing to help folks, people will help you. And the more people that you help succeed, the more people that will help you succeed.
And certainly that's one of the mantras in our personal growth business. I found that to be more the operating rule than not, that people understand the value of reciprocation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's integral to what we do.
And it's a great core value, I think, for a personal growth or personal improvement business, don't you?
Absolutely. Selfgrowth.com, one of the things that we started was this whole concept of reciprocal links on our website. You know, we're basically contacting people saying, we like what you're doing, and we want to put a link on our website to tell people about it. And we weren't asking anything in return. And we just said, we'd like to tell people about what you're doing. And what we found over time is literally thousands and thousands of people said, thank you very much. We like what you're doing also. And they started linking back to us. So in its purest form, in terms of our internet website, that describes it. You know, we started helping other folks, and in turn, they started helping us.
Well, that's I think from a ConsciousOne.com standpoint, that was the one critical element that we learned early on that allowed us to grow. And you were one of the people that reached out your hand and helped us. And so we learned that that's the way it is done. And we started doing it, you know, just in kind to everybody else that called and asked us. And that's one of the ways that I would suggest for any of the listeners, if you want to grow your business, just be prepared to pay it forward, pay it backward, pay it sideways, whatever way you can put it out there. You'll find you'll grow your business exponentially faster. Wouldn't you agree, David?
Oh, it's worked for us. Yep, and I've seen it work for countless other people. Yep.
Well, Chris, we've come to the last few minutes. I wanted to just say thank you for the opportunity to work with David. David, you know what? I'm a raving admirer of your work and what you do, and I feel honored that I had the opportunity to speak with you tonight and share what you're doing through your great answers this evening. And Chris, thank you for the opportunity to work with the people at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. I look forward to a long and very abundant and prosperous relationship with all of us.
Likewise, Scott. Thank you so much for co-hosting this interview tonight. And again, I want to encourage our listeners to go to ConsciousOne.com and look at the great work that you're doing, and also to join us in July when we'll be interviewing you about your just-released book at that time, huh?
I look forward to you. Then I could be called an author then, just like David.
All right. Very good. And David, thank you so much for being with us tonight and sharing your wisdom and your experience. And you're in a unique position in being able to access the knowledge of the top people in this personal development, personal growth industry. And you have shared with us some great kernels of wisdom and knowledge. And I love this one, that if there's anything that we take away from this call, it's that the most important thing we can do is take action. And even if it's not the right action straight out of the bat, it's going to lead us in the direction of achievement. That's what I got. And we will have the ability to make corrections as we go along, and from that action is where we'll build the life of our dreams, which we're aiming for in the first place. So, David, thank you again for being with us.
And thank you very much for having me on the call, and I want to thank everybody tonight for listening in.
Great. And for our listeners, again, I want to encourage you to go and get a copy of David's book, this fabulous resource on the top 101 experts that change our lives. And you can do that by going to www.healthywealthy.com/self-growth. So with that also, I want to just review, let you all know of our upcoming interviews on December 6th. We're going to dive deep into the field of passion when we interview Mike Love, one of the founding members of the Beach Boys, one of the most incredible rock groups of all time. Along with his other members, Mike is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's been the author of many of the co-author of many of the number one singles that the Beach Boys have put out. Whenever I've talked to him about this interview, he said, "Oh, I want to share with them this song, and I want to share that song." So it's going to be a fascinating interview, I guarantee you. And I'm very excited also that co-hosting that interview will be Chris Decker, the founder of Earth Dance International, one of the great global events that's been happening for the last 10 years. Peace events built around music and dance, Chris will be the perfect one to interview Mike on December 6th. We will not have a second interview in December because we, along with you, will be celebrating the holidays. And in the beginning of January, we will have as our co-host Mark Victor Hansen of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and we will have a great, great guest. We're just waiting on final confirmation for that guest, so I will be announcing that to you in our next call with Mike. On January 24th, we will be interviewing Dr. Ivan Meisner, who's the founder and CEO of Business Networks International. BNI has over 4,000 chapters around the world, over 80,000 members. He is the master of networking, and we look forward to that. And then for those of you that were with us last month and missed our interview with Les Brown because Les had an emergency arose that wasn't able to join us, Les will be joining us now on February 7th. And at that time, Stephen Pierce, the author of The Whole Truth, the internet marketing ebook that took the internet by storm, will be co-hosting that interview as he did with Stedman Graham last month. Then on February 21st, we have the great delight to interview Jennifer Hawthorne, the best-selling author of a number of the Chicken Soup for the Soul for Women books, Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Single Soul, and over 13 million of Jennifer's books have been sold, and she will be joining us and talking to us about her latest book, The Soul of Success, A Woman's Guide to Authentic Power. So we've got a fabulous set of interviews coming up, and we look forward to being with all of you. And I'm going to open up the lines now and say good night. So. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good night.
Good night. Take care.